I heard a statement that sent a shiver down my spine. It was at a dinner in Toronto for a yeshiva. And the guest speaker was Rav Shneur Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Rosh Yeshiva then of the Lakewood Yeshiva. And he said something in the name of his father, Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. I had this feeling that I understood every word that he said. I wasn't sure whether others did, but I did. Because the idea of this shiur started germinating 35 years ago. I'm going to say what Rav Shneur said in Yiddish as he quoted his father. Die Yeshua von Ador kommt nur durch der, was hat nicht übergewen, der Chet Ador, und das gewen Mordechai in Shushan Habira. The salvation of a generation can only come through someone who has not transgressed the sin of that generation. And that was Mordechai in Shushan Habira. And I'll explain to you exactly what he meant. In chapter 3 of the Megillah, it tells us that Haman has been raised to great prominence. He is now the alter ego of Ahasuerus. He is the one who represents the king wherever he goes. And everybody is bowing, bending, scraping before Haman, because so has the king commanded. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. Mordechai will not bend nor bow. Pasuk later says, "Vayar Haman." Haman saw kein Mordechai korea u'mishtachave lo. Haman saw that Mordechai doesn't bend nor bow before him. Vayimolei Haman chema. Haman became full of anger, wrath. And then he cooks up the destruction of the Jewish people. The destruction of the Jewish people, men, women, and children, on one day. Who becomes aware of this? Mordechai. Mordechai goes running to Esther, and he tells Esther, you have to do something about it. If you remain silent now, what will happen to the Jewish people? And who knows how long you're going to be queen? Anyway, from that moment on and further, Esther is the one who takes charge, and Esther tells Mordechai, gather together all of the Jews and pray 3 days, day and night, and fast. I and my girls will do the same thing, and so I'm going to come to the king, though I haven't been invited. And the fact is that anybody who comes to the king who's not invited will be instantly put to death, except for the one to whom the king is going to extend the golden scepter. She comes, and she invites Haman and the king to a party. And they come to a party. Now, we're now in chapter 5 of the Megillah. We now know that Haman is Hitler. Yimach Shemei V'Zichrei. We know that Haman plans the destruction of an entire people. Says the Pasuk, Vayetze Haman Bayom Hahu. Haman came out that day after the party, sameach, happy, v'tov leiv, and of good heart. V'chirot Haman et Mordechai, v'shar hamelech, when Haman saw Mordechai in the gate of the king, v'lo kam, v'lo zom imenu. Mordechai doesn't get up, doesn't even move. It's as though nobody has walked by. At this stage in the game, when we know that this is the grand killer of the Jewish people, Mordechai, hide someplace. Bow down. Pikuach nefesh. Do something. Even after all of this, Mordechai, not a move. Not a twitch. Nothing. Lo kam v'lo zom imenu. Vayimolei Haman al Mordechai chema. Mordechai is one of the Jews who never committed the sin of the generation. Unbending, unyielding, uncompromising. He didn't bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't bow down before Haman. The Yeshua von Ador Rabaran said the salvation of a generation can only come through somebody who had not transgressed the sin of the generation. And that was Mordechai in Shushan Habira. He refused to bow, to bend, to scrape, to yield, to compromise. He remained absolutely absolutely firm, steadfast. Nothing was going to make a difference to him. His principles were more important than anything else. He was not interested in making political or other accommodations or compromises. I mean, strong.
I have a feeling and we're going to come toward a number of concluding thoughts.
Gemara in Masechta Megillah says that there was a debate that raged amongst different families, the family of Yehuda and the family of Binyamin.
And the difference of opinion, they want to know from which tribe did Mordechai come? Because the pasuk says, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. There was a Jew in Shushan HaBira, Ushmo, and his name was Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini. Ish Yemini means that he is from Binyamin. So the Gemara asked, is he from Yehuda or is he from Binyamin? Different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara says that either his father was from Yehuda and his mother was from Binyamin, or his father was from Binyamin, his mother was from Yehuda. There's another opinion in the Gemara that says that Yehuda took credit for Mordechai because Mordechai came from Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera is a person who cursed David HaMelech, and David had the right to strike him down, but he didn't because David let Shimi live. Ultimately, Mordechai was born. So therefore, the tribe of Yehuda said, because of us, you have a Mordechai. Others claimed, no, it's because of us. By the way, there were others who said, no, they blamed Binyamin. They blamed Binyamin for Haman. If Shaul, king of Israel, from the tribe of Binyamin, had not let Agag live, Haman would never have been born. And then there were others who even turned around and said, you know who's the cause of all of this suffering? Mordechai. You think there weren't Jews that blamed the rabbis? What are you talking about? Blame the rabbis. They're always the best ones to blame. What? Rabbis come out with Piskei Halacha, you understand, and for that I will say I am proud of the fact that I was one of the rabbis that issued the Pesach Halacha that soldiers should refuse orders to remove Jews from their homes. But the whole country stood up and said, rabbis, what do they know? Who gives them the right to Paskid? What are you talking about? Who gives them the right to Paskid? We're the ones that have to make decisions in Jewish law. That was an aside. If I keep going about that, boy, would I get upset. Well, you know, I'm a big hero now. I'm not so frightened of being arrested. A year ago, I don't know if I would have said it at the Torahathon. All right.
I have my own shot. On Mordechai. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. There was a Jew in Shushan, the capital. Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. His name was Mordechai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish. Ish Yemini. There was one Jew who walked the streets of Shushan HaBira and remained absolutely loyal to the oath that was taken at the rivers of Babylon. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. A generation had forgotten. Two generations had forgotten. There are those who are nenu misutasu shalosi arasha. Those who bow down to the tselem. If you wanted to take a look at a picture before your very eyes of a previous generation, a godel b'Yisrael, you wanted to see somebody who was full of love of Eretz Yisrael, one who had never compromised, who had never made peace with the exile. To him, though he had achieved greatness, for him Babel remained foreign, strange, alien, gullus.
As you saw Mordechai walking through the streets of Shushan HaBira. You saw before your very eyes a picture of an Al Naharos Bavel Jew. I remember West Hempstead. I was rabbi in West Hempstead for 11 years before I came on Aliyah. Community that I loved and admired. They may even have liked me. I think so. There was an old man, and my father, Allah al-Shalom, was living with me, and the two of them, it's fascinating. My father always used to refer to the other man, the old man told me. And I said, my father most probably was 85, and the other one was maybe even younger than him. But the two old men, my father used to like the old man. I had a very special thrill every time I saw the old man come to shul, and he sat not far from me, because in the early years of the century, he had been a ben bayis in the house of Reb Meir Simcha HaKoyim Mitvinsk, the Mesher Chacham of the Or Sameach. I saw this Jew. I felt that I had a connection with one of the giants of this century. I saw him, I saw Reb Meir Simcha. And every so often I talked to him about the house of Reb Meir Simcha. I tell you. I saw him, and I saw Reb Meir Simcha. You saw Mordechai in the streets of Shushan HaBira. You saw a Jew who was full of Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. Nothing had changed. He was the Ishmini. The Ishmini. I want to close with what I believe is said by the Malbin. Malbin says that in that oath of Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, Jews in fact took three oaths. There are three separate and distinct parts to that oath. Part one. Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, if I forget you, Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini, let my right hand forget its cunning. The hand, the right hand, represents to do, to act on behalf of Yerushalayim. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki, part two. Let my tongue stick to its palate, im lo ezkerechi, if I will not remember you, Yerushalayim. Talking about tongue, palate, lips, speech. Not only did they take an oath that they would act on behalf of Yerushalayim, they took an oath that they would speak out on behalf of Yerushalayim. And the third, the last part. Im lo alet Yerushalayim al rosh simchati, at the moment of my greatest joy, I will remember Yerushalayim in my thoughts. That's why we break a glass by a chuppah and we sing here in Yerushalayim, we sing Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. What it really means is that this oath was a three-part oath. There was an oath in thought, in word, and in deed. We are going to stand behind Yerushalayim. If there has ever been a generation, a moment, in which Jews have to take that oath all over again, that's us, right here and right now. Because the battle for Yerushalayim is on. That battle is taking place right now before our very eyes. I'm frightened, God forbid, if things don't work out as we want them to work out, what will I say to my grandchildren? And when they will ask me, were you living in Yerushalayim, Zayde, when they divided the city, Rachman and Itzlan? From 1967 until the walls of Berlin came tumbling down, I remember speaking on a number of occasions at which I said that from 1948 until 1967, there was an ugly equation that existed in the world. Two cities divided in half. Two cities with a wall going through the middle. Berlin and Lahavdil Yerushalayim. What an ugly, ugly, painful equation. Came the Six-Day War, and the walls of Yerushalayim came tumbling down, and the city was reunited. Reisev Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Yashikayach. Let Berlin remain a divided city, and we're going to be a unified city. I am frightened out of my wits that the walls of Berlin have come tumbling down, and I'm afraid that the walls that will separate Yerushalayim are going up. If God forbid that happens in our days, we will have nobody to blame but ourselves. And therefore, we're going to have to find the ways and means of making sure that that becomes our consuming struggle. We're the ones who are going to have to fight for Yerushalayim. And we're also going to have to tell it to our friends and our neighbors and our mishpucha in Chutz Laretz that the battle for Yerushalayim is raging. I still don't understand why we don't get 250,000 or 500,000 people to stand on Har HaChomot to say, we are going to build here. We're going to build any place we want in Yerushalayim. It's our city. I always had this sinking feeling, and I know that even here I sort of expressed it. Over the last number of years, a representative of the government of the State of Israel knew that if his speech wasn't going too well, when he's speaking for, I don't know, Bonds, UJA, Federation, there was always the tearjerker, the heart tugger. All you had to say is, but Jerusalem will remain forever, eternally, undivided capital state of Israel. And then you can see the crowd begin to cheer. People would start taking out Kleenex and dub tears from their cheeks. I'm afraid that it was all talk. I'm afraid that it was all talk. The action is going to have to come from us. The message of Purim is, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira, there was a Jew in Shushan Abira, whose name was Mordechai ben Yoir ben Shimi ben Kish Ish Shimini, Asher Hegloim Hagolah, Asher Haglusam Yechonyo Melech Yehuda, who had gone into exile even earlier than all of the rest in the days of Yechonyo, king of Yehuda, Asher Heglan Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, had sent him off into exile. And he remained the Ish Yemini throughout, unbending, uncompromising, unyielding, strong, steadfast. The challenge that we face is to be Ish Yemini in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh itself. I think we're up to it. I think we can do it. Thank you. Can I have your attention for a moment? Where is it? Did I have a bag here? Oh. Speaking of Yerushalayim, not that. Speaking of Yerushalayim, today happens to be the day of issue of a new series of Torah tapes by some fellow called Gold. Take a look, show them that picture of Yerushalayim. You show them the picture of gold. That they don't need. That's Sefer Shemot, and there will be a series of tapes on each one of the five Kumashim. There is also a four tape series called Eretz Yisrael in Halacha and Hashkafa by Rav Shalom Gold. Now, today happens to be the day of, the unofficial day of issue. If you want to order them, you can see my wife. She's someplace. Bela! Oh, there she is. You can order them for pre-release price for 12 tapes, $60. For the 4 tapes, $15. I think that you should 20? Did I say 20? 20. Okay, 20. I'll tell you. I would want to get 4 and 12. That's the way we worked it out. If I would be you, I would be the want to be the first one on my block to have the latest Jerusalem reflections. Anybody want any questions? Bavakasha. Yes? All right, good question. The question was, if Ezra and Nehemiah had already gone to Eretz Yisrael, why didn't Mordechai go? Very good. Number one, because he was needed in Bavel. And number two, after the story, I have proof from a number of places that he went on Aliyah. Mordechai, the fact is, Mordechai went on Aliyah. And the idea that he was needed in Bavel, they needed one Jew who was going to walk the streets of Shushan HaBira that would remind them of Im Eshkachek Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. And let me say the following. At one time I didn't understand, and then I did understand. I didn't understand the position of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Schusa Yogan Aleinu Amen, who was opposed to rabbis and educators going on Aliyah. He told me not to go. And I was upset. And a few years later, I understood him very well. And I do tshuva for the fact that I had questioned his position. Not, don't get me wrong, I have absolutely no regrets that I came on Aliyah. I had to do what I had to do. But as a general rule, what do we want? Do we want to empty Chutz Laretz of good people who are going to lead Klal Yisrael? They need leadership desperately. I understood the Rebbe. You know, I was the big idealist. When I came here, I thought, even if I have to dig ditches, it's worthwhile being in Eretz Yisrael. You're kidding me. Dig ditches? I would have gone mad, stark raving mad. I didn't know what to do. The only thing I knew how to do was be a rabbi. And they told me, who needs rabbis in Yerushalayim? And then I find out, they may need rabbis in Yerushalayim. But Mordechai was needed, and he knew it. I hold that Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh and knew that he was needed there. And when the tragedy was averted, he went to Aliyah. Okay. Yes, any other questions? Yes.
Yes. The vast majority of Jews refused to come on Aliyah after the 70 years of exile in Babylon.
Yeah.
So my question is, being that the so-called Torah scholars, most of them stayed in Bavel, why do we learn Gemara in Aramaic instead of Hebrew? That's my question.
By the way, I want you to know I like him. He was the first one who ordered my tapes and has been calling me for years. I like people who order the tapes. Yeah. I can't answer your question. I can't answer your question. The Gemara was written in Aramaic. The Gemara says that there's a certain holiness to Aramaic because in a certain sense it became a Jewish kind of language. And what about Yiddish? You know, don't go overboard with this Israeli stuff over here. I'm just driving up the block and my wife tells me, take a look over there. Can you read that sign? So I started reading something, contact. I thought it was contact lenses. Then I see Kentucky Fried Chicken. Come on! 1,000 years Jews learned in Yiddish. There's a holiness to Yiddish. It's of course not Lashon Kodesh. Aramaic was used as a means of transmitting Torah. It became holy. You have more serious problems than that, I'm sure. Okay.
Rabbi Gold.
Yes?
The holiness of Jerusalem is very quite clear. Now, a lot of people will tell you, if you're going to defend Har Homa and take 10,000 people there, why don't you take them on top of Mount Olive and build the third temple?
By the way, you're right. I think that one of the tragedies of our generation is that we did not stake a claim on Har Abayit. I don't understand it. It's unbelievable that we didn't stake a claim for Har Abayit. I and it could have been done. I agree with you.
One more, just a second.
One more question, that's it. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Rabbi Gold.
You asked in your talk. You the student said the dinner a year before, and the Rav said it was 45 years before. Aren't you being a little bit late? The fight for Jerusalem, yes, it's now, but it was years ago.
Yeah, right.
We missed the boat.
We haven't missed no boats, and I've been talking about it for many years. Come on, don't worry. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's us.
Okay. And thank you, Rabbi Gold.